In June of this year, in Department of Commerce versus New York, the Supreme Court held that the Department of Commerce could not add a citizenship question to the census, which is going to be taken next year. The ruling was remarkable and split the court 5-4 along ideological lines. It's well worth taking a deeper dive and exploring this decision.
Welcome to the Rudman Center podcast. Learn more about the Warren B. Rudman Center for Justice, Leadership, and Public Service at law.unh.edu/Rudman. Opinions discussed are solely the opinion of the faculty or host and do not constitute legal advice or necessarily represent the official views of the University of New Hampshire.
So looking at the background on this case, I mean, this initiated from the executive branch wanting to add in a specific question and other people are viewing it as unconstitutional.
Just start with some basics. You know, every 10 years we take a census. That's a constitutional requirement. As a consequence of that sentence, we understand that, you know, certain areas of the country, population grows, other areas of the country may lose population. As a result, representation in the House of Representatives may be affected. The distribution of federal funds may be affected. And so the census is an important political tool. Shortly after Donald Trump was elected in 2016, his Commerce Secretary decided that when the census is taken in 2020, a citizenship question should be added, a question asking, are you a United States citizen? He did so even though all available information indicated that adding such a question would greatly reduce response rates, particularly among Hispanics and obviously non-citizens who'd be afraid about giving that information to government. The effect of that would be to reduce the census count in certain parts of the country. And it just so happens that those parts of the country happen to be Democratic strongholds. Mm-hmm. And so right from the beginning, this was seen as a political decision. The question raised in this case, so litigation was brought. Right. States that would saw themselves as likely to suffer from undercounts and other private groups also brought lawsuits. And they prevailed in the lower court. The case was fast-tracked to the Supreme Court because of a need for a decision. Because
yeah, it's very quick. They just start printing out the paperwork like now, right?
That's right. They saw the end of June. It was widely represented that the end of June was a deadline. They needed to be able to send these for printing by the end of June. And so the Supreme Court issued its decision right at the end of June. The constitutional challenge was premised on an argument that, first of all, this was being done for political reasons. It was not being done for reasons that are consistent with the purpose of the census, which is an enumeration of the population. And there was also an argument that this was specifically done with an eye towards suppressing the count of number of people who are Hispanic or Latino, and you know that community again tends to vote for Democrats.
Now, does this concern stem from strictly the political atmosphere of today, where we're having this crisis at the border, or is this stemming from other angles?
I think that's part of the story. Yeah. I think you know we are obviously in an age of bitter partisanship right now. There is a great deal of frustration in the country about the fact that we have a president who was elected with more than 3 million fewer popular votes than his opponent, with the fact that the Organization of the United States Senate and the Electoral College have counter-majoritarian effects, and those effects seem to be benefiting one party and harming another. And this was seen as yet another effort by that party to entrench its hold in the face of democratic values. You know, another area where we see this playing out is with respect to voting rights. Mm-hmm. You know, how easy should we make it for people to register to vote and to be able to vote? And we see on the one hand, one party arguing for, you know, access to the ballot and saying that this is something that should be encouraged as a matter of civic responsibility. And we see another party saying, no, you know, there are concerns about fraud. We certainly don't want people who are not lawfully in this country to be having a say in the policies that we adopt.
Now, generally speaking, would an illegal immigrant be counted as a person when it comes to representation?
Yeah, it's always been understood that the census is an enumeration of all people,
okay,
not just citizens, not just voters. Although, that is an open question. It's an open question whether or not, if the states wanted to, they could populate legislative districts on the basis of citizens or voters. But it has always been understood that, children should be counted and that the census should be used to get a count of the number of human beings who are living within the United States right now.
Yeah, that's a good point. I've never thought about it. I've never really heard anyone even bring up the fact that we're counting children who aren't voters.
That's right. And until the 19th Amendment, women didn't vote either.
Right.
But we had censuses before that. Exactly.
Yeah, it's been brought up with the 1965 Voting Rights Act. How does that play into this?
Well, the reason that the Commerce Secretary provided for adding the citizenship question is that it would generate data that would be helpful to the Justice Department in enforcing the Voting Rights Act, because the Justice Department in enforcing the Voting Rights Act needs to have data about the number of citizens living in certain areas and needs to update that. What made it suspicious here is that the Department of Justice didn't on its own make a request for this information. The secretary actually reached out to the Department of Justice and sort of solicited a request. Moreover, cynics would say this Department of Justice hasn't shown a particular interest in enforcing the Voting Rights Act, at least since the election of Donald Trump. And so it all feeds into the optics, and the optics certainly suggested to many that this was a step that was being taken by the administration and by the Commerce Secretary to politicize the census.
This might be a reach to ask you this question, but say we weren't in the current political atmosphere, say we weren't having this issue at the border. Would this have been an issue?
Well, for much of our history, there was a citizenship question on the census, right? And it's really just in recent decades, and even in recent decades, certain subsets of the population did have a citizenship question. And so the Supreme Court, in ruling on this case, did not have a difficult time with the argument that this violated the enumeration clause of the Constitution. That's the clause that mandates that the census be taken every 10 years and say, there's nothing about this. This is consistent with practice throughout our history, and that tends to establish its constitutionality. Nonetheless, Chief Justice Roberts, in a surprise to many, joined with the four more liberal justices in the decision in this case to hold that it was really an administrative law decision, that the reason that the secretary gave does not appear to have been the real reason for doing what he did. The Supreme Court actually sent it back and said, if you can come up with a reason, an authentic reason for what you're doing,
this that is not arbitrary.
they basically ran out of time.
Yeah.
And so this, as of today, at least, the citizenship question is not going to be generally added to the census. The fact that this case bears some similarity to the travel ban case from last year, where, on the surface, the government does something, it provides a reason for what it does. Courts are very loath to second guess and to say they're not doing it really for that reason, and to open up the doors, to evidence on that. Very similar, by the end, the travel ban, was challenged as being discriminatory last year because of the president's many statements during the run-up to the election about, wanting to exclude Muslims from the country, and then tweets after he became president. And so we are, in this new era with a president who is using social media and putting his thoughts out there in sort of raw and sometimes pretty unfiltered terms. Stress is being brought to bear on this idea that courts should apply a presumption of regularity, meaning they should assume that the reasons given for something by a coordinated branch of the government are the actual reasons why the government is doing what it's doing.
Meanwhile, we got a president who's ranting at 10 p.m. at night every night going, these are what I think about everything. And guess what? Now this is public record.
Right. And what really seems to many to have changed. I mean, at oral argument in this case, it looked like this was going to be a 5-4 ruling with Roberts joining the more conservative justices to hold. They can add this to the this question to the census precisely because of this history that we just talked about. It's not inconsistent with the enumeration clause, and it's part of our history. after our oral argument was held in the Supreme Court, but before the decision was issued, information came into the public light from a Republican operative who passed away, showing him arguing we should add this information, we should add this question to the census because it will benefit whites and it will work disproportionately to the advantage of the Republican Party. That information coming out, I mean, again, one never knows what really goes on behind right. the scenes, but it's hard to avoid an impression that Chief Justice Roberts thought, oh, for us to just issue a ruling now that just flies in the face of overwhelming evidence that this was really rooted in political considerations could do damage to the prestige of the court. We will look like we're just going through kabuki theater over here. So in any event, it's interesting how in this, you know, this new age and this new time of, you know, the president sharing his views and others on social media, pressure is being brought to bear on courts to actually question the good faith of the other branches of government, the Congress, the executive branch. And this is happening as well, you know, with respect to abortion regulations at state levels. So this presumption of regularity is under stress right now.
How much of this would you say is due to the current, I mean, this is a constant theme, is social media and technology having an impact on this? I mean, is it because of how public the discourse is nowadays compared to previous decades that you feel like this might be making this more prevalent?
Well, you know, our system is trending towards a situation where politicians who cooperate with the other party lose their office. Mm-hmm. So those from the extreme wings of the parties are tending to prevail, particularly in the primary process. Media, of course, you know, the Republicans have Fox News, the Democrats have MSNBC. It's nonstop 24/7 outrage. I think, you know, you have to take a 360-degree look. Right now we are in a time which all sorts of reasons and through all sorts of vehicles, trust in government and in the ability of government to sort of come together and to find compromise is really down.
Opinions discussed are solely the opinion of the faculty or host and do not constitute legal advice or necessarily represent the official views of the University of New Hampshire.